So this morning, we're in Genesis chapter 40, finished 39 last week. Joseph brought down to Egypt and got into trouble with Potiphar's wife, not his own fault, but he still got in trouble for it. But in chapter 40, we see him in jail here, and he's going to continue there for a bit. And what we're going to see is when he first got sold as a slave, he was 17 years old, Scripture tells us. And by the time he gets out, as we see in the next chapter, we won't get there this morning, but when he stands before Pharaoh as he's let out of jail, he's 30 years old. So he's kind of been put on the shelf for 13 years, and yet didn't lose his faith, didn't lose his desire for the things of the Lord, didn't lose anything. In fact, nothing is said about Joseph that he brought any kind of condemnation against the Lord, that he complained, murmured, and yet in jail because of something he didn't do, in a hard place, certainly not an easy place. He's a slave. He's ministering in that midst, but nothing said against him that he did against the Lord. There was no sin in his life. And to me, that's just amazing, but it also shows me that we can do it. We don't have to sin. We can be free of sin if we choose to. It's our choice. It's not God's fault we sin. It's our fault. It's our hearts. It's our desires. It's our ways instead of God's ways. God can do that work if we allow him to work in our lives. So certainly a challenge for us this morning that we would want to stay in that place where we wouldn't sin against the things of the Lord, that we'd walk in truth and walk in freedom from sin, because that's why he came to save us, isn't it? That's what the cross was all about. He died on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven. And boy, to be forgiven and then freed from the bondage of sin. And that's so sweet that we can be here this morning free from sin, free from the desire to sin. That we could have that as we look to the Lord for it. So it starts out in verse 1 here. It says, "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt." So Pharaoh got miffed because of these two guys. Something happened with them. One was the chief baker. One was the chief winemaker, or chief one who would bring him the wine. And remember, because he was Pharaoh, he had enemies. And so these two guys would be the ones that would test the food, make the food, and also test the wine to make sure that it wasn't poisoned. And so he would have these guys around him all the time, hearing the matters of the kingdom, being influential in those matters. He'd ask their opinions at times. And so these guys evidently got in trouble with Pharaoh, and we wonder who was behind it. We're going to see what God does in the midst of it. But these two men were thrown in jail because of what had happened here. It says, verse 2, that Pharaoh was wroth against them. He wasn't just upset with them. He was mad. What did they say? He was mad as a wet hen. I've never seen a wet hen mad, so I don't know. I never looked, I guess. I don't know. But Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers and against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers, these men who were influential. But here they are in this place. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard of the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. Joseph in jail with them, Joseph in this place, and these two men come in and to be with them. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in the ward, in captivity. But to me, it's just amazing. Joseph, who's a young boy, 17 years old, maybe 18 or so by now, but in jail, he's going to be in there a long time, and yet his faith was so strong that God was taking care of him that he was able to serve others that were in jail. I don't know about you, but as I thought about it this morning, I'm sitting there thinking, what if I was thrown in jail and the Lord asked me to serve the folks that were there? But Lord, they're murderers, they're liars. They're connivers. They're robbers. They're thieves. Yes, we were. That's right, Michael. We were once too in the same place. And yet Joseph being faithful, not coming against the things of the Lord, but being in a place where it didn't matter where he was going to serve the Lord in the position that he was in, no matter what position that was. Whether he was serving Pharaoh as a slave and ministering to him and his family and taking care of the accounting and taking care of all the stuff that was coming through Potiphar's hands, or in jail. He was going to serve them there. He was going to serve wherever the Lord put him. And boy, isn't that strange for us? Because American Christians don't like to serve. Isn't that a sad case? We want to be saved, but we don't want to serve where the Lord puts us. We don't want to be servants to the Lord and servants to the people around us. We want to be seen. We want to be noticed. We want some great thing. We want a great thing behind our name. And yet Joseph wasn't even worried about that. And to me, that's amazing for a young person to have a heart like that, where he wouldn't be demanding that he be served and have the best jail cell in the whole dungeon, if there was one. But instead, just as people would come in, he would serve them and minister to them. And boy, that's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge for us. Lord, wherever you put me, wherever I am right now, help me not to see what I can get out of it, but help me to see how I can serve those that are around me, whether my household, whether my community, whether my workplace, wherever it is, Lord, help me to be the one that's a servant. Oh, and that is such a challenge. And remember, he's going to be there almost 13 years in jail, and yet always serving, always looking in how he could help others, and not looking for himself to be exalted, not looking for himself to be the main thing, but always looking to put that on everybody else. What an encouragement and what a witness that is, that we don't have to have our rights. We have no rights. And Joseph was finding that out. He had no rights whatsoever as a slave. Remember, he was the favorite son of his father. Out of all 12 of them, he was the favorite. And now he's gone to a place where he's serving criminals, serving those that were incarcerated, serving at the lowest place of low. Can you imagine going from the heights of being a favorite son to the lowness of being in jail for something you didn't do? Oh, and yet he didn't complain once. It's amazing. Pray for me. I complain about everything. And yet, thank you, Michael. You didn't have to say that. I think Michael knows me too well. We got to do something about this. I don't know. But he's there and he's serving them, and they continued for a season in prison. In verse 5, and it says, and they dreamed a dream, both of them. Remember, Joseph is a dreamer. Joseph is the one who's had a couple of dreams. Remember, he told his parents about it. He told his brothers about it, that there he was, and all their sheaves bowed down to him, and the sun, moon, and the stars bowed down to him, just having these dreams and telling them. And of course, it didn't go over well with the family, that they were going to serve the younger son. They weren't excited about that. But here he comes, and he's in this place. He's the one that's dreamed, and the Lord has already prepared him. And I think that's another great point for us, to realize that if something is going to come into our lives, it doesn't come by accident, that God is already preparing us along the way to come into a place where we can understand what's going on in the situations around us. If we're paying attention to who God is, if we're paying attention not only to his word, but the things that are going on in our lives, he wants to open those doors for us where we can use those things for others that are going to come. It may take a while. Remember, it's been years since he's had those dreams, and now there's coming others into that place that are going to have dreams, and he's going to have an interpretation for them because God has already prepared him. Nothing comes upon us by surprise unless we're not paying attention to what God is doing. God is going to work in us and through us and then bring those things to our lives where we can have an understanding of what's going on so that we can minister to those that are around us. Because he doesn't surprise us with something and say, minister to them now, when we have no idea. the only reason we don't have a clue of how to minister to somebody else is because we haven't let the Lord prepare us. And that's shame on us. Lord, help me to pay more attention to you and less attention on how I can get noticed in this world. Lord, let me pay attention to you so I can serve the world around me. There was a story in a Tozer devotional that was for yesterday, and it was a great one about a young pastor who had come up, and he was going to a house of a woman who was dying. And he came in, and he was nervous. It was the first person he had come to as a young pastor, and she was dying, and he didn't really know what to do, didn't know what to say. And he comes in, and he says, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry for the condition of your health that you're in." And she said, "Honey, don't worry about it. My God is the God on both sides of the Jordan." And boy, what a lesson. We can be prepared or we can go in nervous, but God is still going to show himself faithful. But we're here to serve. We're here to get ministered to. We're here to get strengthened up in the things that the Lord has for us, especially as the church. The world doesn't know about it, and the world could care less because they don't know. It isn't because they may not want salvation. They just don't know about salvation, and they're just acting the best that they can in the world. But boy, our depraved minds and our wicked hearts soon show themselves by the actions that we have. And isn't it sad that the world has to act out so many awful things, so many atrocities, and we can't get mad at them because we were the same way. Those same things that are in their hearts were in our hearts. It's just that God has taken care of us, and we just need to be thankful. Lord, I don't have to act like that anymore. I don't have to be a liar and a cheat and a murderer. I don't have to be that sinner that I once was, because you died for me and your blood covers me, and I'm saved now. I'm born again. So help me to act like it, Lord. And Joseph is doing a great job. What a challenge this guy's life is for us. So verse 5, they dreamed a dream, both of them, and each man his dream in one night. And each man according to the interpretation of his dream, and the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. So these two guys come in, they're influential in Pharaoh's kingdom. They're just in trouble right now, but they're in jail. And Joseph came in verse 6, in unto them in the morning, and he looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. Isn't it amazing? I'd be sad in jail too. That's not one of my favorite places to be. But he comes in the morning, but look at this man's heart. He's a man who was accused of something he didn't do. He's a young man, but he comes in and he notices their countenance. Isn't that such a condemnation for us and a conviction for us? Do we notice the people around us? Do we notice their countenances when we come and meet with them? Or are we so busy about ourselves and our agendas that we don't even notice that they're upset? And boy, that's a conviction. Because there's some mornings I come in and I don't even notice that Kath is sad. Where's my heart? Am I looking in the right place? Or am I just looking at myself and how my day is going to go and what I'm going to do? And yet he's in jail. And of course the prisoners are sad, but there's a different kind of sadness than they had the day before when he had noticed them. And he considered, it says he considered them. He looked upon them and considered where their hearts were, and their hearts were sad, and he was there to serve them. And not only to serve them food that would come into the jail, but he was there to serve them spiritually and encourage them in the condition that they were in. And boy, do we do that when we go to the doctors with our condition of cancer, with our condition of illnesses? Do we look upon our doctors and wonder, how are you doing? Or are we so concerned about ourselves that we don't even notice that they're having troubles? Because God will show us what's going on if we ask and if we look, if we consider. Lord, help me to do that. I'm not here for me. I'm here for everybody else. Because just think, Jesus, who is God, come down from heaven. And what if he came to earth and just considered himself and never considered the condition of you and I? How sad would that be? He wouldn't have gone to the cross. He wouldn't have died for you and me. But he purposed, because God had sent him, that he was going to be concerned about how we're doing. And remember, even now, even though you feel despondent, even though you feel like you're in a place that you shouldn't be in, that you're almost in a jail, in shackles, that Jesus knows where you are, and he cares about your condition, and he cares that you're hurting, and he wants to minister to your heart this morning. He wants to bring comfort. He wants to encourage you. He wants to exhort you, just like he does with me. And that is so wonderful. You have a God that loves you. And you know what it's like when somebody loves you instead of just looking at you like they have to be near you. When they have to be near you, they could care less whether you're happy or sad. But when they love you, they care whether you're happy or sad. They care about your condition. They care about your hurt. And they want to help. And so there's Joseph. He looked upon them. He considered where they were. And it says in verse 7, and he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? Not only did he consider that they were upset, but he asked them about it. And there's another thing about Christians. We see people sometimes, but we're in such a hurry most of the time that we can't take time to look and to see the condition of others and then to talk to them about it. I have 5 minutes. I got to be somewhere else. I don't care if that cashier is crying in front of me. As I go through the line, I'm not going to ask her because I got to get out of here. I got to be somewhere else. I waited for that person in front of me with their 57 coupons and they're writing a check and they didn't know how to write a check and they didn't know how to get it through the machine. And I'm just so upset. I just got to get out of here. I don't have another 2 minutes to spare. But who do you think put that cashier crying in front of you?
You.
Mm-hmm. And we're there to serve. And servants don't have a time frame, do they? Oh, Lord, help us to realize what real servants are and what real ministers of the gospel are. We're there for them. And if we're late, guess who's in charge of the timetable? God. He's going to get us there at the right time. Oh, Lord, help. We've got things so backwards in America. Because most of the churches in America are in a place where we have our rights and we want them met, and God, you better meet them right now. Instead of just being before our Lord and Savior and saying, God, whatever time frame it is, it's yours. It's not mine. Help me, Lord, in it to know what to do and how to serve. Not how to be served, but how to serve. Hold your place here if you would, and go to the Psalms with me. Go to Psalm 42. It's a little psalm. It's a short psalm. But it just reminded me this morning as I was going through this of maybe where Joseph was, and certainly where I am and where maybe some of you are even right now. Psalm 42, it says, as the hart or the deer, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O Lord. And you look at that, and you see the deer is panting for water. It's a thirsty deer, and he needs some water. He doesn't need more grass. He needs water. And there's only one focus in that deer's life, and that's to get water. Are we single-focused like that when we come to the Lord? Lord, I need your help this morning. Are we that focused where we're only going to the Lord? Or are we getting on the phone first thing and calling our friends and saying, pray for us, instead of going to the Lord and say, Lord, I need your help this morning? Instead of seeing where everybody else is, we just want the things of the Lord in our life. The deer is focused. He's going for water, and that's what he needs. My soul thirsteth for God. It's thirsty and continues to be thirsty for God. This is an ongoing relationship with our Lord and Savior. And Father, help me to have that relationship, whether it's one day, whether it's 13 years in jail, whether it's 40 years I've been praying for my kids to get saved and they're still not saved, whether it's 50 years of Lord, I'm still in this deformed condition, but I still want you in my life. It doesn't matter that I'm still in this state. What matters is, Lord, you're with me. So, Lord, help me to keep going and not to be upset because I'm still in a condition that I don't want to be in. Help me to know your heart for me in the midst of where I am right now and not be so concerned to get out of it, but to let you bring me through it. Ugh. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Your God is alive. Praise the Lord. When shall I come and appear before God? Aren't we crying that out now as a church? Lord, I really think rapture is a good sign. It would be wonderful. Let's go. We're looking for him. When can I come and appear before you, Lord? My tears have been my meat night and day. Is the psalmist just crying out and being in tears, having a broken heart, having that heart of just being overwhelmed by whatever it was, whatever condition was there. He's overwhelmed, and he's just been upset about the things, but he's coming before God with those things. And it says, while they continually saying to me, where is your God? Where the unbelievers just look and say, if you have a God, why isn't he helping you? You know what? Our God is helping us. We just don't see it the way he's doing it. We want it our way and not God's way. And Lord, help us in the midst of it. And he says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. I pour out my soul to you, Lord. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God, and with a voice of joy and praise, and with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. He's going to appear before me, and he's going to be my help. Do you know that God will always help you? Maybe not your way, but he's always there to be your help. And the same should be true of us, because we're image bearers of who God is. Shouldn't we be the ones who are going to help those who are in distress around us? Oh, Lord, help us to have that heart, to have that way. That's our witness. But look at what the psalmist says. My soul, why are you cast down? Why are you discouraged? Why are you despondent over the condition that you're in? I'm going to wait on God, and he's going to help me. But realizing that we all go through those times where we're sad, we're discouraged, we're upset with the way things are, and we just can't seem to get past it, know that God is going to be your help in the midst of it. But to cry out to our spirits, why am I discouraged? I've got a God who loves me. I've got a God who sent his son Jesus to save me from my sin. I've got a God who's promised me heaven after I die and go from this world. Why am I cast down if I've got all of this? And yet we do sometimes, don't we? We have to be honest about it. We have to be real about it. But that isn't the best place for us to be. The best place is to trust God in the midst of it, that he's going to get us through. I don't have to be discouraged. I don't have to be downcast. I can be always be upbeat. And don't you hate those people that are always upbeat? I mean, they're always happy. They're always smiling. They're always thankful. Just like, oh, what's wrong with you? Why don't you be like me? Yeah. And yet the better place is to be before our God, just trusting him and allowing him to bring us through. That's where Joseph is. And you never see a place where he's downcast. Just amazing to me. Lord, help me. Because this guy is challenging. Because we want to be like God's people. We want to be a godly man and a godly woman. And then he shows us these examples and we complain about it because that can't be real. It's only one in a billion. You know what? If he can do it with Joseph, can't he do it for you and I? Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope in God. And that's certainly the challenge for us this morning, hope in God. He goes on in verse 6 and he says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites and from the hill Mizar. I'm going to be in that place where, Lord, my soul is cast down, but I'm going to remember you. And that's where we need to go as Christians. Lord, I'm cast down, I'm anxious, I'm upset, but Lord, I'm going to remember you and what you've done and who you are, that you can get me through this. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of your waterspouts. All the waves and thy billows are gone over me, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness. He said, I'm in the depths of despair. I'm in the deepest of the deepest places. And I'm just drowning in all of this that's going over me. And he says, what, in verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness to me. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your loving kindness, for your grace and your mercy. and in the night his song will be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, why have you forgotten me? I know you as supernatural Christians would never say anything like that, but I have. Where are you, God? And did he leave or did we leave? We left. We left his presence because we wanted to be discouraged. We love our pity parties sometimes, don't we? We have our pity parties and we sit in front of the TV watching stupid stuff on TV and we're eating bonbons and potato chips and everything else we can find and we're just completely discouraged. And yet he commands his loving kindness to come to us to encourage us that we can go on from where we are. Oh. I will say unto God my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why go I mourning because the oppression of my enemy as with a sword in my bones? That's how much it hurts. It's like a sword going into us. My enemies reproach me. Their words just hurt me. While they say daily unto me, where is your God? And then the psalmist goes again, why are you cast down, O my soul? Look at all the things that this man is going through, this psalmist is going through, the same things that you and I go through. And at the end of it, he always says, why are you cast down, my soul? What is wrong when I've got a God who loves me? Oh, and certainly we go through all those things, but we have a God who wants to bring us out of those things. It tells us in Corinthians that he's the God of all comfort, and he knows how to comfort better than you and I do. He knows how to comfort us because he knows what's in our spirit. He knows what's in our soul. He knows our innermost beings, and he wants to renew us and strengthen us. And that's where God is today. People are crying out to us, where is your God? Why isn't he helping the world? Why is there so many wars? There's wars because of sin of man, but our God is with us to bring us through these things. So back in Genesis here, is Joseph goes through these things. He's in that place, and it says in verse 8, and they said unto him, the baker and the cupbearer, they said unto him, this is why we're sad. We've dreamed a dream, and there's no interpreter, really. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Look at the witness this man has. He's in jail, right? What could they say? Well, you're a criminal. What do you mean you're going to tell me what an interpretation is? I can't believe you. You're a criminal. You know what? God's witness can be anywhere. And if it's anointed of God, it's going to touch hearts. But you notice the type and the picture of what's going on here, too. We see these two men with Joseph, and they're all criminals, or supposed criminals. They've been convicted of things, and they're in jail. But there's three of them, isn't there? Ever notice a time in the New Testament where there was somebody that was righteous and surrounded by two other men who weren't? Like Jesus on the cross. And what happened? One of them was raised to life, and one of them died. Sounds like something from the Gospels when Jesus was crucified and one of them was raised to glory. Today you will be with me in paradise, Jesus said to the criminal next to him. And the other one just railed against him and died. The type is so wonderful here. Joseph without sin, Jesus without sin, two men surrounding him, both crying out to him, and yet one raised to glory, one dying. Let's see what happens here. His witness comes forth and he says, interpretations belong to God, so tell me what these dreams are. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said unto him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. And as it was, as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. So remember, God has already prepared Joseph. He has already given him the gifts that he needs to minister to the people that are around him, just like we have all that we need to minister to those people that are around us. This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and you shall deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. And he's just like you and I. I want to get out of this difficulty, don't we? So remember me. Who do we cry out to? Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh, remember me and remove me. Get me out of this difficulty, Lord, as we cry out to him, as we look to him. He goes on in verse 15 and says, "For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into this dungeon." And when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "Well, hey, as long as this guy had a good dream, I had a dream too. Tell me mine." Oh boy, sometimes it's better not to ask. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there was of all manner baked meats for Pharaoh." Notice that the dream goes along with who they were. And we have dreams about where we are sometimes, don't we? Some of the things that we used to do, some of the things that we used to be. And those dreams come. I remember the last week, the sun was waking up early in the morning, earlier than when the alarm would go off. And it was always because I was back at Wegmans, and I was back stocking shelves, and I was under time constraint. And it was just such an anxious dream. It was just awful. I woke up more tired than when I went into bed. It's just like, what am I doing? I haven't been there in 20 years. I haven't been doing that stuff in 20 years, and here I am dreaming this stuff, and I'm just as anxious as I was then. I said, "Come on, Lord, what is going on with my life here that I would be back there doing that stuff, anxious about things rather than just being at rest and letting God deal with me?" Ugh. But these dreams for them were the things that they were involved in. Yet within 3 days, or Joseph answered verse 18 and said, "This is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days." And it starts out just like the other guy, isn't it? Oh boy, I got a dream just like the other guy. I'm going to get out of here just like the other guy. This is wonderful. "Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off of you and shall hang you on a tree." Sometimes we don't want the interpretation found out, do we? This is awful. "And the birds shall eat the flesh from off of you." Oh, this is not a good dream. This can't be the Lord. And it came to pass on the third day, verse 20, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Remember, 3 days, it's coming to pass. And Joseph is going to get encouraged again that, God, you are the God of interpretation, and that you have given me this gift. And help me to use it rightly for you. And that should be for you and I too, as God does things in our lives and shows us things, and then they come to pass, that we should be encouraged that God is working in our lives and that we need to walk with him, but we need to submit more and more of our lives and our hearts to him, that we can trust him. He's going to give us the right answers. He's going to give us the right interpretations of those things. And Lord, you're going to do that work that you've told us about. Remember, Joseph, when he heard those dreams, didn't hold back from the gift that God had given him to tell these people. Even though one was bad, one was good, he didn't hesitate to tell them what those things were. And not all of the things that God tells us are going to be great and wonderful things for the people around us. Sometimes there's going to be hurt. But you know what? We need to be faithful with what God tells us all the time. Not every time that we get up here, are the scriptures easy to be brought forth? But you know what? We have to be faithful to read all of the counsel of God, not just the good parts, not just the parts we like. We've got churches that do that. You're going to be rich. You're going to be famous. You're going to drive Ferraris. You're going to drive Rolls. You're going to do all those things, but they never tell them that they're sinners in need of salvation. Otherwise, if they don't have salvation, they're going to die in their sin and experience hell and never come out of that place. Sometimes they're hard things that we have to say to people. You're wrong in what you're doing in your marriage. You're wrong in what you're doing in your life. It's not God's will. It's not God's way. You're going your own way. And people don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear it. I'm wrong? Really? I can't be wrong. That means I have to say I'm sorry. I can't say I'm sorry. That would be demeaning. Amazing. So it came to pass the third day that it was Pharaoh's birthday. He lifted up the heads of these two men. He restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. You know what was one of the wonderful things in the midst of this? Didn't God give this baker a chance to repent from not knowing the God who gave him the interpretation? He gave him an opportunity to say, Lord, I'm coming home soon. May I know you in the midst. He prepared him. He gave him warning. And I think the Lord does that with all of us. He gives us warnings. You can know me today or you can walk away from me. But it never says anywhere that the chief baker looked to Joseph and said, help me to know the God that you know so that I can have forgiveness and go to heaven and have the hope that you have. Because evidently you have a hope because you're joyful in prison. And I need to know that. But he never asks. But God gave him opportunity. Nobody who goes before God for judgment will ever be able to say, God, you didn't give me a chance to repent of my sin and to come to heaven. God always is faithful in every way to every person. Every person is going to know that one day God visited them and gave them opportunity to get saved, and they rejected it. Oh. And then there's one more verse. Verse 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Joseph trusted this man to bring his name up before Pharaoh, but it wasn't God's time for Joseph to get out of jail. It was time for Joseph to stay there some more years, to endure hardship day after day after day, to experience want and need, so that he would have a full revelation of who God was. God got him out of jail when God wanted him to get out of jail, when he knew it was going to be the right time. If the butler did it, then who would have gotten the praise? The butler. When God got him out of jail, God got the praise. And Lord, thank you that you got us out of jail, out of our bondage, out of our sin, out of our despondency, out of our misgivings about things. Lord, thank you that your timing is perfect. And you look at it and you go, well, 13 years doesn't sound like God was really concerned about who this man was. Oh, he was concerned because he was there in jail with him for all 13 of those years. You may be in bondage to something and God is going to deliver you. If you look to him, he'll deliver you in his time and it'll be the perfect time. Because look what happened to him. We all know the story. He comes out and all of a sudden he's second in command of all the world. He goes from a prisoner in jail, from a slave, to the second in command. Look at all the people he bumped off on the way up that were waiting for Pharaoh to die so they could take over. And he just goes boom, right by him. He offended a lot of people along the way and he didn't even do it. It was God. But look at what else happened. He was in such a wonderful place that he could receive his family as they came to him and embrace them rather than kill them for what they did to him. And look at what he said to them. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He had to go through 13 years to get to that place of being able to say that to his family. If he got out early because the butler remembered him, he might not have ever said that. We don't know. But what we do know is because God's timing was perfect, he was able to give grace out because he had gotten grace. Even though he was in jail, he knew about grace. If you're in bondage, if you're hurting, know the grace of God because that's what's going to relieve you of the anxiousness and the hurt that you carry in your hearts. He's going to remember us. And it doesn't matter what man does. It matters what God does. We're going to take communion this morning. And so as we prepare our hearts, just cry out to the Lord in the midst this morning. If something's going on, if he's convicted you of something, if he's shown you something, just ask him to make himself more real to you than ever before. So, Father, As we prepare our hearts to receive communion this morning, Lord, may we just be in that place where we're sitting before you, just trusting you for what you've said to us, trusting you that you are the God of all creation, trusting you that you can relieve us, you can help us, you can strengthen us, you can encourage us this morning, Lord, as we come in with those different hurts and different issues, that you want to minister to our hearts, that you care that much, that you want us to remember who you were and what you've done for us, so that we can realize more and more of who you are and take heart to less and less of what we are. So, Father, have your way with us this morning. Just minister to us as we seek you, as we ask you, as we just sit before you, that you'd speak to us. If you spoke to Joseph, we know, Lord, that you can speak to us. So speak to each of us this morning, Lord, your grace, your mercy, that we might know you better. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 22, it says this, it says that Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the cup of the New Testament in my blood which is shed for you." He tells them there to remember. And just like we saw in the Psalm, that in the midst of it, he was going to remember his God. He was going to remember who he was. And certainly that's for our hearts this morning, too, to remember who God is, not only the God of salvation, but the God in our life. And so, Father, we come to you and we remember what you've done. We're thankful, Lord, for these elements that just bring to us a remembrance of what you've done for us. We know this isn't your body and your blood, but, Lord, they're tokens for us to remember that your body was broken for us and that your blood was poured out. And we're thankful, Lord, for the price that you paid for us, because we had the price that we couldn't pay. But you did it for us, Lord. So we're thankful this morning. We just come to you and ask that you just minister to our hearts. And we're thankful, Lord, as we take these in remembrance of you and what you've done. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.